I'm good, guys. Thank you. And I have to say something. Of all the radio stations in America, of all the stations I do, one thing that is so cool and unique to you guys is there's a countdown about 30 seconds before the break ends.
Yep.
And a little voice comes on, says 30 seconds to go, and then 10 seconds to go, and then 5 seconds to break, and then you guys, poof, appear.
it's magic, man.
It is, man. It's so nice. If you're on the phone, you know, waiting to talk and do interviews like I do, it's a nice thing to know that, okay, you're on deck. It's on the way. It's cool.
Spoken like a true quarterback. The little details, man.
Yeah, we call it the Theismann clock here at CBS Sports Radio. So last night, another unbelievable performance from Deshaun Watson. Now, it's in a loss, but both these quarterbacks we have to talk about. But Watson is just, I mean, did you see this coming? He was going to be this good this quick?
No, I think anybody that said that, you know, might not be necessarily telling you the truth. I had a feeling he'd be pretty good because, remember, you know, everybody talks about the pressure and the moment. He performed tremendously in two national championship games. And in the second one they won, it was all about his ability to be able to do things. I didn't necessarily think he'd be able to escape the way he has because of the speed that's on most of the defenses in the National Football League. But the way he's thrown the football, the decisions he's made with the football, his pure athleticism is amazing, and he's bigger than most people think. No, I didn't see it coming, but it sure is a treat to watch. He is this year's Dak Prescott. And we saw amazing things from Dak last year, but Deshaun adds a different element to it because he has some wide receivers that Dak doesn't have. And so you combine it with his accuracy and his ability to move around, and, you know, I thought that last night game was going to be exactly what it was. I didn't realize Kansas City would dominate or that, you know, unfortunately, the Texans were going to lose, you know, Merciless and JJ. And I, gosh, you know, the injuries yesterday were terrible. Odell and JJ and Merciless and, you know, the entire receiving core of the Giants. But no, to answer your question, didn't see it coming at this level.
Did you see Alex Smith taking his game to another level? And not to say he just started playing in this manner. He's looked pretty good in the past as well since he went over to Kansas City. But he seems like a quarterback with a ton more confidence considering the explosive players he has around him.
He does. And you know what's interesting? Go back 2 years ago when the Kansas City Chiefs offense did not have a wide receiver catch a touchdown pass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whenever I say that, it's like I scratch my head and I still can't believe it. And then last year, in a league where touchdown passes are falling out of the sky, I mean, you know what, Deshaun's got 10, 11, I don't know what the number is right now, but he's in double digits. Alex only threw 16 touchdown passes a year ago. I think it's the trust of Andy and the offense that he wants to run and the addition of speed on the outside. And, you know, Kelsey's just an incredible tight end. And another one that couldn't play the latter part of the game because of concussions. But, yeah, Alex is playing a different game of football. And, you know, you see guys grow. It isn't you don't play this position and flip a switch and all of a sudden, here I am. It's a process. And he's reached a point in the process where the mental, the physical, and the compliments around him all make a difference.
Is that defense going to be good enough to take them through the postseason?
I think as a team they're going to be good enough because, you know, Tariq runs another one back for a touchdown last night. I mean, you're going to start kicking away from him. You're not going to give him to touch the football. They've got tremendous speed. Their special teams are exceptional. Their offense right now has a tremendous amount of belief in what they can do. Hunt's just, you know, a lot quicker, a lot stronger than I think people thought he was. And then defensively, yeah, I think defensively they're going to be able to do the things that they need to do because, you know, you really have to look at the exceptional job that Deshaun did last night making plays. But other than making a few plays, buying some time, that defense played very, very solidly last night.
Let's talk about the New York Giants, San Diego Chargers. Phillip Rivers, I want to start there because watching that game yesterday, he missed a number of throws, but yet he redeems himself, can take the team down the field, 12 plays, 70-some yards, and throw a touchdown pass. But he's been very inconsistent this season. Are you seeing what I'm seeing out of Rivers?
Yeah, I am. You know, we all reach a point where It doesn't quite go the way your eyes and your mind want it to. Matter of fact, the pass that he hit Gordon with for the touchdown yesterday, they had the same pass that got batted down two series before that, I think. So, I mean, Phillips still can function well, but, you know, having a wide-open receiver run down the middle of the football field and you basically overthrow it by that much, very uncharacteristic of him. You know, Ben's performance yesterday, Carson Palmer, Phillip Rivers, you know, if I could talk to Ben, Big Ben, I would simply say this. You made the decision to come back. You know, no, you haven't lost a thing. No, it's not all on you. There were some funky things that happened in the game. As a quarterback, you start to say, man, it's just turning on me. You have 6 days to get ready for the next game, and it's going to be a tough one against Kansas City. And I don't know if they're, you know, Pittsburgh struggled defensively for a long time. I don't know if they're going to be able to hold up on that side of the ball. But it isn't all just Ben. And he's got to, you know, yes, you're a trooper taking it on your shoulders. But the fact of the matter is, this is the ultimate team game, and the quarterback position is the single most dependent position on the field. And those are things that he has to understand. So get your head up, put your chin up, get your head out of your dopper, and be ready to go play some football games. That's what I tell him.
Gio and Jones with Joe Theismann across the country on CBS Sports Radio. It did seem like a lot of it was him, though, yesterday, quite frankly. Yeah. I mean, and especially at home. I mean, he was awful.
Yeah, well, same thing with Phillip. I mean, you know, it's just the ball was going places where you just don't expect it to go against these guys. You know, truthfully, I thought San Diego's corners, they were all around every pass he wanted to throw. I mean, that offense gave him very few options to be able to go someplace with the football. And, you know, I sent a tweet out yesterday. Is Jacksonville that good? I thought Jacksonville was going to be a playoff team a year ago. But you add Calais Campbell, and you look at some of the additions they've made in the secondary. And then Fournette, I mean, boy, when he took off on that gigantic run, man, that was the 100-meter. That was Usain Bolt in the 100-meter. That's all I saw was, catch me now. No, you can't.
Yeah, the old Usain Bolt before he got beat during his last race. Joe, Kevin Hogan took over for Deshaun Kizer. Do you believe that's it for Kizer, or will he get a chance to redeem himself? He's just been terrible in the red zone. I believe it's 4 interceptions in the red zone for the rookie quarterback out of your alma mater, Notre Dame. Or do you think Hogan is going to be the guy who can be the answer long term?
I think, well, I don't know. Who knows where the answer is? Probably Kirk Cousins is the long term in Cleveland. Kirk Cousins could be the long-term in San Francisco. Kirk Cousins could be the long-term. I hope he's the long-term in Washington, D.C. That's the big thing for me. But I think Deshaun Kizer came out of school a year early. He should have never come out. I said it in the beginning of the year. I'm not saying it now. I said it in the beginning of the year. The biggest problem or the big question marks that he had was decisions. I mean, it's just, this game, you can't run around and think you can make plays in this business. There are the rare few. There's the Michael Vick that was there. We see with the Deshaun Watson today. Certainly Dak has that ability. But the list is very, very small. Of course, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I could watch him. You know, I watched him practice. I could watch him walk around, play golf with him out at a tournament in American Century, watch him hit a golf ball. But watch him perform the art of playing the quarterback position is just like poetry to me. I mean, it's like a great book watching it unfold. And, you know, what unfortunately the Cowboys have found out, that book doesn't end very well for them on quite a few occasions. But, yeah, I think Deshaun's got to sit. And if something happens to Hogan, he gets hurt, Deshaun will go back and play. But they're still going to be shopping for a quarterback again, which is unfortunate. I mean, it's all, the game is mental. People, you know, this is what gets me sometimes, guys, is they talk about people like Trent Dilfer. Well, he was a manager and won a Super Bowl. Brad Johnson, a manager and won a Super Bowl. We're all managers. Alex Smith is a manager. Tom Brady's a manager. Peyton Manning was a manager. That's our job. Our job is to manage the game. You know, Deshaun has no idea what he's doing back there. He holds the ball too long. You know, if the guys aren't open, throw the ball away. That's why it's a team game. Let the defense go get the ball back for you. And I think Deshaun's going to have to grow and learn in this business. And it would probably be better for him and safer for him if he doesn't play for a while.
Now, the Browns have passed on a lot of quarterbacks that have turned out to be pretty good, but I think probably the one that was the most egregious was Carson Wentz when they traded down from that pick, decided that he wasn't going to be the guy. So if Carson Wentz gets drafted by the Browns, is he this good in year two?
No, not at all. I think you have to. I think sometimes you have to look at the offense. You have to look at the plays that are being called. It's not all just about the player on the field. There's culpability for the play caller. You know, we've seen coordinators get fired three games into the season because of the production level. It's not what it should be. Sometimes it's conceptually. Sometimes it's the design of the plays. You know, as great a job as Sean McVay has done with the Los Angeles Rams, and we see Jared Goff playing up to a potential level now that's pretty impressive, they still struggle in the red zone. The Redskins struggled in the red zone offensively. You know, that's one area where Sean has to take it to another level as a coach, as a play caller. You got to figure out how to get the ball in the end zone. You know, you make five trips into the red zone, you get zipped out of it. You know, that's where the whole thing is a dependency factor.
Joe, I saw, speaking of quarterback play, a pick that Jay Cutler threw yesterday, and I just sat there just in bewilderment. This guy, as long as he's played in this league and no one was around him and he's doing the whirly-dirly, I don't know what was in his head, and just threw it right to the Tennessee Titan defender. And why was there so much? I know Adam Gase had worked with him previously, but why do you think there was so much the urge to go out and get Jay Cutler, considering his track record, especially since he's left the Broncos?
Two things. Familiarity with the offense, because he was coming in on such a short period of time, there wouldn't be a great amount of disruption, and they'd have the full playbook available. Secondly, we don't have any quarterbacks in this league. I mean, it's a league that is very deficient at the quarterback position. It's a league that isn't efficient, but it is deficient at the quarterback position. You know, when Jay Cutler decided to retire, part of his mind left the game too. This is not a switch you turn off and on. You know, I've had many, many conversations with a lot of guys that are thinking about going back. Once you cross that threshold and it's over, it's hard to turn around and go back. I mean, and he's physically able to go do it. But I think they bet on a guy who knew the system. You know, why did he struggle in Chicago? I mean, Jay is Jay. Jay will make you scratch your head. You know, he'll throw a ball and you go, wow. Then he'll throw another ball and you go, holy wow. I mean, it's, you know, how do you do that? Why do you do that? Those are all things that, you know, they'll struggle with. I mean, they made the playoffs a year ago. And, you know, they finally scored some points. But, you know, it's simply because Jay knew the system. That's why he's there.
Gio and Jones with Joe Theismann across the country on CBS Sports Radio. Cam Newton went from looking like he forgot how to play football last year in the early portion of this year to looking like the MVP that he was in 2015 in just a couple of weeks. Where does this resurgence come from?
Well, I think, you know, he missed all the training, you know, with the arm he had, the surgery, the time off. There's a rust factor. And, you know, Cam has an incredible athletic skill. I mean, he is beastly. And I think they've incorporated, you know, you can't discount the addition of Christian McCaffrey and the versatility that is now added to that offense, the things they can do with him out of the backfield. They're still a tight end-based offense with big receivers down around the goal line. And Cam's a big guy. You know, if you take a look at receivers and quarterback, it's the biggest team in football, tallest team. And there are advantages to that. And, you know, if he decides he wants to run a quarterback draw and you spread the field, he's going to run over a defensive tackle, a defensive end, a linebacker, and safeties are, you know, they should be getting hazard pay to try and tackle him. But I think, you know, now that he's reached this level again, I'm really curious to see this game coming up from a consistency basis. And, you know, then we'll be able to see if Cam's really back. I think he is, but we'll be able to see it for sure.
What do you expect from Mitchell Trubisky tonight on Monday Night Football against the Vikings?
I expect the Chicago Bears to run the football a lot. I think they'll put. You're not going to stick him out there against this defense and expect him to go out and perform miracles. It was time. It was coming. You have to go see what you've got. I mean, the Browns did it with DeShone Kizer because they didn't feel like they had an option. I think the Bears are in another situation where they gave up an awful lot for this young man who is going to have to learn how to play the position of quarterback on the fly. And the most important thing for him is that he stays healthy and he doesn't try and do too much. I talked about DeShone being able to run away from people. Mitchell's not going to be able to do that kind of stuff. They will support him with the run. For sure. They have to. It's the only smart thing to do.
Hey, are you believing in your Fighting Irish this season?
I am. You know, Ian played pretty well. Brandon maybe will be back this week. They're two very young quarterbacks. You know, Brandon played 5 games. Ian played now 2. I do like the football team. I think defensively we're a whole lot better. I think we're a stronger unit overall. And I think Brian made some really good decisions. And he does a great job when guys come off the field and he teaches. And he has time to do that, having turned over the offenses to Chip and Mike, or the offense and the defense to Mike. So, yeah, I'm excited about where the Irish are going to go. USC is going to be a fun test coming up.
Yeah.
And, of course, North Carolina State's another one.
Yep.
That I think will be a fun test.
Yeah, that you have those two. Then you go to Miami and you go
right,
to Stanford.
Miami, you know, the end of the season is where we'll really find out where this Irish team is.
You got anything to promote, Joe? I always feel bad. You come on, you give us like 20 minutes, and then we're not promoting anything that you're doing. You got a Twitter account, obviously, Theismann7 on Twitter. Anything else?
Now, you know what? The only thing I would like to say is in recent weeks, in recent months, there's been a tremendous amount of charity, tremendous amount of tragedy. The Las Vegas shootings, and our hearts and prayers go out to those that have lost someone and those that are injured, and also the hurricanes in Puerto Rico and down in Houston. If everybody decides that they just want to help in some way, shape, or form, and look what J.J. Watt did. A $200,000 project turned into, what, $37 million. We as a nation have an opportunity to be able to help one another. And we as a nation have an opportunity to be able to do something for our fellow men and women. And that's what I want to promote. I want to promote us being who we are as Americans and taking care of those that need us. That, to me, is what's so important.
You're a good man, Joe. You're a great man.
Thanks, Joe.
We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Good catching up with you. Bye-bye.
Joe Theismann. Look at that. Slow clap for Joe. No? Anybody? Come on. Put your mics on in there. Come on. Let's go. Come on, Brian. No clapping? No, don't hit the mic. That hurts. Oh, you're clapping for Joe. You wouldn't even... Wouldn't get on board there. Are you pro-hurricane?
Yeah, right. It's costing me money. Harvey cost me money. Irma, Maria.
Oh, all right, coming up next, an Andrew Bogus update. And finally, we get to the story we want to open the show with. Chris Forrester.
Oh, my goodness.
Welcome to hell.
Oh, God.
Coming right back.
This is Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
So anyway, the details on that story coming up in just a few minutes. Bogus is first because we know he's a very busy man today, so we don't want to delay that. He's on that double duty. No Brad Heller today. So.
Oh, are you doing 882?
I am.
Damn, did they get your name right?
They had. The morning is fine.
Oh, it's just that one
it's
lady.
It's their fill-in midday issues.
What's her name?
Maria Garcia? Rodriguez?
I'll go set her straight. Listen here, Garcia Rodriguez, whatever your name is. Get my boy name right.
Okay? Andrew Bergus.
That's right.
With the irony of you going Garcia Rodriguez?
I just don't remember because she's my enemy.
Mm. Ah.
And I choose not to learn her name.
Andrew Bergus.
Are they on the same floor as us?
No, they're upstairs. But a call has been made.
No, I'm going to go see
The last time we discussed it, a call was made upstairs.
Oh, really? Yeah. From Spitz?
Yes.
Oh, damn.
Yes, he put his foot down.
Spitz.
Hey, it's Eric.
get this guy's name right, please?
Eric Spitz.
It's embarrassing for him. It's embarrassing for me. They talk about it on the show, and it's terrible radio. And every time it happens, they're going to bring it up. So just get it right from here on out.
Every time you do it, he snorts. No, I'm just joking. That's, he's not O-line coach.
You're right. He's now fallen into a deep, dark drug hole because of this. There are videos of him doing drugs. So we're just trying to...
He impregnated a stripper.
Allegedly. So it'd just be better if you said bogus. All right, thanks. All right, Bogus, what do you got for us, man?
I've got the Houston Texans saying J.J. Watt is out indefinitely, but he may be done for the season because he suffered a tibial plateau fracture in his left leg in the first quarter of Sunday Night Football. Head coach Bill O'Brien will be optimistic for now.
Just knowing him and knowing the type of guy that he is, he's an amazing human being. He will work extremely hard to be back.
Watt missed the final 13 games of last season following back surgery. Fellow pass rusher Whitney Merciless suffered a likely torn pectoral muscle in the 42-34 home loss to the Chiefs last night. Three more touchdown passes from Alex Smith.
As far as the numbers go, I think a little bit, I mean, it's a reflection of the guys around me. We've got a bunch of guys that make plays. I saw that tonight. You know, so sometimes it just goes that way.
Two of Smith's touchdown passes went to running back Sharkhandrick West. 11 touchdowns, no picks for Smith now in the Chiefs' 5-0 start. In primetime tonight, the Bears host the Vikings. Sam Bradford expected to return from the left knee pain that's kept him out of Minnesota's last three games. And Giants wideout Odell Beckham Jr. reportedly seeking a second opinion, but surgery likely after breaking his left ankle in yesterday's 27-22 home loss to the Chargers. The Yankees spotted the Indians. Two wins in Cleveland. Their advance to the ALCS is now underway.
High fly to left. Gardner is there. Gardner and Hicks. Hicks makes the catch. Hicks made the catch. Ball game over. Yankees win.
Oh, there it is.
The Yankees win.
The details don't matter. 1-0.
This guy up. Hicks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1-0. Extending this ALDS to game four tonight. That, of course, was John Sterling on Yankees Radio. Aroldis Chapman.
Speaking of mistakes like that, anybody see the viral video of Spiro Ditas's mess up of one letter that changed the entire meaning of what happened in the game? Did you see this?
I didn't see that, but I saw Jay Feely on Saturday.
Oh, that was really bad. Yeah, with the field goal.
Yeah. That one, hey, no, don't go there.
What did my boy Spiro do?
So he was calling a sack, and instead of saying deck, he said, change that E to an I, and they said they blanked him. And they blank Wilson. It was just really, and then with the visual of all the guys. I don't know how you make that mistake, but he did.
Not to pile on, but he did leave the L out of play clock during a Fordham basketball game when we were in school together. Yeah.
Wow, he's got a history, man. He needs to talk about this.
One I've done.
Play clock?
I've done that one, and I've done the herniated disc.
That's the common one.
This is how it goes for announcers.
Decked him. That's...
Epcot. It happens to everybody. Doesn't matter who you are, your training is.
Right. Yeah. Come on, man. But yeah, my man Feely. Oof.
Yeah, I don't know how that could
ball wasn't even close to a crossbar.
And we can't play because it doesn't make any sense. You know.
Nah.
That's the thing. It's like one of those things where you play, it just sounds like the field goal, but you have to tell people that. It was way off.
Yeah.
Just go watch it on the internet for crying out loud.
Go to the internet.
What do you need us for? All right, sorry.
So the Yankees won 1-0 last night. That only run came in the seventh on a solo shot from Greg Bird. Cleveland panicking and bringing game one winner Trevor Bauer back on short rest tonight. Luis Severino throws the first pitch for the Yankees shortly after 7 Eastern. Also a game four at Fenway because the Red Sox finally beat the Astros yesterday. This one starts at 1:08 Eastern. Game three is in the NL. Cubs and Nats in Chicago after a split in D.C. at 4. The Dodgers can sweep the Diamondbacks in Arizona at 10. Our good buddy Kristaps Porzingis seeing Knicks doctors this morning after leaving last night's preseason loss in Brooklyn with right hip pain. Penn State moves up to number 3 in the AP college football poll. Oklahoma drops to 12 after losing to Iowa State. Michigan falls to 17 after falling to Michigan State. And the only NHL game last night saw the Rangers blank the Canadiens 2-0 for their first win of the season. Gentlemen.
Bogus, you know the correct pronunciation just so we get it right for everybody. Chris Forster?
I believe that is correct.
All right.
Forster. So F-O-E-R. Right. S-T-E-R.
Yes.
So I'd never heard of the guy before this. And he's an offensive line coach for the Dolphins.
Second stint with the Dolphins.
Yeah. And he's been around him. He's been in the league for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the highest paid assistants in the NFL, making between $2 and $3 million.
Wow.
This Chris Forster. So Chris Forster is now a guy that I will never forget after having never heard of him, being a big NFL fan. He's been in the league for almost two decades. Because late yesterday, a video was posted to Facebook. And the woman who posted it apparently is either a stripper or in the sex worker or something.
Yeah, escort.
That's going on. You know, so that's what she is. And I forget her. This article here does not have her name in it. We had it this morning, and I thought I wrote it down, but whatever. So we'll get to that in a second. But anyway, so she posts a video, and the video is of Coach Forster in a Dolphins office. Now, that hasn't been ultimately confirmed. However, he has said that in this video, you can hear him. We'll play the audio. He's about to go into a meeting, and then once the Dolphins, a couple of people contacted Dolphins people off the record, they said, yeah, we have the same desks in our building. So, there's a chance it could have been from years ago and in a different building, but people are making the assumption this was recent and in the Dolphins building. It was definitely while he was at work, that's for sure. So he's filming himself talking to this woman who ends up posting this on Facebook, and he is snorting a white substance.
Yeah.
Now, you don't know from a video whether it's cocaine or not.
No.
But you can make the assumption with the way that he's talking that it's not a crushed up
pill. Yeah, they said it was kind of chunky. Could have been Percocet or something else. Who knows?
But I don't. Just the way that, like, I don't know. To me,
I don't know.
This feels like a cocaine thing.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like to me.
He's hopped up on something.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, you don't. And when you're talking, it's like, you'll hear it. It just seems like that. It seems like it's him and partying is what you think about.
He having a grand old time.
I don't, you know. But anyway, so let's listen.
Sometimes I do that before I go to the meetings with Spitz.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I mean, y'all don't see it. I'm sneaky with it.
Oh, are you?
And I don't videotape myself. Sometimes, I just have to, something to ease me into that excruciating meeting, where I'm being assailed by my boss. Sometimes you just have to take the edge off.
Just a little bit.
Just a tiny bit, yeah. So I feel the man's pain.
Yeah. So if you might have missed him say, we're not going to be able to do this together for a while because I know you have to keep that baby. Now, I don't know if that's his baby or just another baby. Now, her name is
Kajana?
Kawana. Kawana Nye?
I don't know. N-I-G-E, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go with Nye.
Let's go Kawana.
Yeah, because...
What's up, Kawana?
Kawana N.
Yeah.
So Kawana...
Kawana in that baby.
Right. So Kawana basically... Kawana basically said, like, she posted this because, if a black player gets in trouble, everybody goes crazy, whether he's kneeling or it's a domestic issue or whatever. And look at what a coach is doing in the league here. Because,
he couldn't take it anymore. He couldn't watch Jay Cutler. baby, Jay Cutler, you're having me to snort, baby.
Now, her Facebook page is... now gone, predictably. And then, so that she also, after she tweeted that out and said, basically this is because I'm putting this up there due to social injustice, she said, the white people mad at me like I forced blow down this man's nose and like I recorded it on the low. No, those are his habits, and he recorded himself and sent it to me professing his love. So quick to make excuses for him, but we'll roast a minority player over an anthem, dog fights, weed, domestic issues, etc.
So I don't think she felt the same way about him as he felt about her.
Probably not.
Yeah, that comes shining through in her comments there. Just bizarre, man, and as if the Dolphins don't have enough to deal with. Yes, they got a victory yesterday, but didn't look great doing it. And now you have one of your highest paid assistants embroiled in this situation. Just bad.
Well, I mean, he'll be fired immediately, and his life is now, as he knows it, over. And I don't believe that. Now, you want to tell me, like, the distraction stuff that you hear about with bringing in certain players, and it's not going to be the same because the guy's an assistant as opposed to, you know, a guy who's a quarterback who might be the quarterback of the team. But, like, you can't, well, because not as many people care about offensive line coaches as they do quarterbacks. That would be the argument. But you can't tell me that this guy's going to be easily getting a job in the NFL.
It's a distraction in that facility. It's a distraction.
I'm talking about his next job.
No, I understand that, but it's a distraction to those players, and it's a distraction to the guys he has to coach up. And you're sitting there, and you got, you know, a cokehead. Allegedly, and
I don't know how allegedly it is. Right?
Well, we don't know if it was coke or not.
Well, she said it was.
She said it was, right. But, you know, and you're trying to take him seriously, and here's a guy that's going to be screaming and yelling at you, and all you're thinking about is this video.
Yeah.
Hey, coach. I mean,
you're right. It's impossible. But what about like a guy like Steve Sarkisian, though, had a history of drinking?
But he was on the rebound. And here's a guy, he removed himself from the situation, or he was removed from USC. He becomes a consultant with the Alabama Crimson Tide, and he's been clean and sober ever since.
And there's a difference between alcohol, which is legal, and cocaine.
Yeah, it shouldn't be, but that's another story. But the guy, Steve Sarkisian, went to rehab. And so we're talking about this coach, you know, Coach Forrester. This is our first introduction to Coach Forrester and his issues. Now,
this is our first introduction. Opening act.
This is the first.
Welcome everybody to the Forrester Show.
Yeah, this is the first installment of Kiwana and Forrester, and he's been in the game, as you said, a long time offensive line coach and tight end coach in the NFL. I guess his first NFL stint was with your Vikings.
Well, yeah. don't now.
Back in 92.
Well, great.
Vikings did this to him. Man.
All right, so there's so many things that don't need to be said here, right? But,
yeah.
I mean,
the dude was in love. I mean, love makes you do crazy stuff. And it's obvious that Kiwana just did something to the man to the point where...
I mean, if this guy is willing to, right? He's willing to film himself.
Yeah.
Doing drugs on tape and sending it to someone who in one way, shape, or form works for sex, then what else is this guy doing that we're not seeing? I mean, this is someone whose life is completely out of control. And it's amazing to me that he's been able to function in this I don't think just to, I mean, how do we know how? Do we have an age on him?
50-something. 55, I believe.
I don't think you just all of a sudden at 50-something just decide, like, you know, I think coke and hookers, way to go.
No, this has been going on, dog.
Right. So to be able to be good at your job, to get paid that much, be able to live this lifestyle and then get to this point. Now, I'm making assumptions, but I think I'm pretty confident in that. You don't just, you know, all of a sudden you straight and narrow and then you're like, okay, a little coke here, a little hooker here, whatever.
Bunch of hookers and cocaine.
Yeah, right. It doesn't happen like that. It just doesn't happen like that. It's just, it's like mind-blowing. So in his life, I can't even, I mean, he's sending it to people. But like he's done. This guy is cooked. It's over. Like, I mean, hopefully he made enough money and banked enough money to be able to live. But I mean, it's over for him now. No, and nobody knew who he was before this. Yeah. And now anytime that name comes up, you're thinking about him and what he wants to do. Yeah.
And apparently she's a model. Model from Kansas. Yeah, Kansas City. Dorothy. Dorothy made him do this.
Right.
Yeah.
She's a model.
She is.
That's right.
I didn't say what she was modeling, but she's a model.
Okay. All right.
Sure. You've been smitten by models. We all have.
I mean, not that.
Hey, Coach, you 50-something, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Really?
It's pretty bad. To go into a meeting, to be at work?
Yeah.
See, like, you want to tell me...
This is Kiwana's fault.
At work.
Make dude do that at work.
Jeez.
I'm about to go in and coach up these old linemen. Hold on.
Right.
Wow.
Makes that Richie Incognito situation not look all that bad, huh?
What is up? Good Lord.
Oh, the Dolphins, man.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing Jay Cutler watching this going...
Dude. So how does he go into a meeting room? This is a huge distraction. You can't go in that meeting room. Everyone's going to look at him and just
shake their head.
I think the caller just gives him a pound of the way I was doing it. Dude, I know. I know what it's all about.
Man. Hey, dude, you got it at left.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm laughing with you, Kiwana.
Kiwana, have you say your damn name?
Do you want to fly Kiwana in? Or?
No.
You don't? You no, don't want to
no,
fly Kiwana?
No, no.
Not
no,
interested in that?
No.
Just Katya Elise.
Ah.
Just her?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Well, I mean, maybe.
Can't trust these people, man.
Oh, it's this has changed your mind? I'm flying Katya
yeah,
in?
Yeah, this is...
Really?
We got to do some social. She's more for you guys than me,
yeah.
Katya.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the biggest load of crap
you were
in the world.
You were aware of it before me.
Yeah, because of Instagram. I'm more up on Instagram
that's
than you are.
That's going to be our party, my parting gift to you guys.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Or to you.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Okay.
You were all in on this, man. Mama and the whole thing.
That's right. Pull those pictures back up.
Yeah. See, now you're back in. Now you're back in. Any update on that, by the way?
The end of November, early December, it will be Katya and her mother. So the two of them, not the other sisters.
Not the curly hair one?
No.
We can get Kiwana instead, though.
No. No. Kiwana needs to go to Louisville, hang out with, what's that girl name?
Rick Pitino.
No.
Sorry.
Katina Powell.
Oh.
Kiwana and Katina. No, I ain't going to even say that. You look much better than Katina.
Imagine if this was like a... just like an epidemic in the NFL. Like there's all these assistant coaches that do it.
Hey, man. I mean,
it just starts an avalanche.
There's an underworld in all this
Jim
stuff.
Jim Bob Cooter, not you.
There's things that go on, you would be amazed.
Not really. I think I've seen a lot of things.
You've seen.
But this is one of my favorite things.
Well, yeah, assistant was hooking up with the flight attendant working our flight. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I had a high school football coach that got wrapped up in some wacky stuff.
Crazy stuff.
Changed the entire course of his life.
It's undefeated.
Yep. It certainly is. Well, anyway, we'll come right back, finish talking about some of the stories we missed in Week 5 of the NFL. Keep it right here.
It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And he says, when will Arkansas fire Brett Bielema?
Ooh.
And do you expect him to cover the 30.5 this weekend?
They have Alabama.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'll let you handle the Bielema thing. But first, this winter, one out of four batteries will fail. Get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has a Superstart battery for you. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day.
Mm. Arkansas lost to South Kakalaki 48-22 there in South Kakalaki last weekend. And they're 2-3. And when will they fire Brett Bielema? I'm not so sure they will. His buyout's $15 million.
Did he have that type of leverage going into that thing?
Apparently so, coming from Wisconsin. And of course, he couldn't get along with his AD there, Barry Alvarez. And, you know, Jeff Long, the AD there at Arkansas, he said that, you know, we won't – I forget what his quote was, something to the effect that, we won't win at all costs. So basically, you know, everyone viewed that as giving Brett Bielema a lifeline because all the heat has been on Kevin Sumlin, and you look at Sumlin's SEC record, much better than Bielema's SEC record, and so I'm not sitting here advocating one way or the other, but if you just go by the records, and that's what these coaches live and die by, is Bielema, you would think it'd be in a world of hurt, but. You don't hear a lot of chirping coming out of Arkansas about this team and its play. They're not a very good football team currently, and Alabama should beat the brakes off of them. That is true. They should really take one on the chin after taking one on the chin this past weekend, losing to South Carolina.
Yeah, I'm not picking any of those big spread games anymore because I never get those right. Never.
Nah, Maryland didn't help you out too much this weekend.
No, they didn't.
No. I think I was. I don't think. 3-0 on the college side, 1-2 on the pro side.
I was 0-3 on the college side, and 2-1. So you gained a game on me.
Hey, got one game. We'll take it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The marathon.
I should have went to Washington State, man. I was waffling on that.
Ah, I lost that one. Oh, man, I went with Oregon, and they played the freshman quarterback, Burmeister, and he didn't fare too well. Defensively, they tried to hang in. I think the final was 33-10. But like I said, I had some upsets. I had Stanford winning on the road. They did that. Michigan State on the road. North Carolina State knocking off Louisville early in the week, that Thursday. And so from that standpoint, they're pretty good. Had Texas beating K-State, their longtime nemesis, and they went to overtime and won at TCU, West Virginia. So I did all right, I think, on the CBS Sports Network side.
Very good. A couple of things with two teams. Well, there's three teams, really, whose offenses have turned it completely around. But two I want to point out. It's amazing what a head coach can do that knows offense. Mm-hmm. They look at the Rams, and then look at the 49ers. Now, the 49ers haven't won a damn thing, but, I mean, they move the ball. They're fun to watch now, too. And then, of course, those two teams met with probably the greatest Thursday night football game that we've ever had. And I know that they didn't score a ton of points yesterday in Seattle, which was one of my wins in the picks. But still, I mean, to go down the field and have an opportunity to win with a Cooper Kupp drop in the end zone that he had.
But it would have been a difficult catch, but they had an opportunity.
Those two teams have really the potential, once the 49ers get some players, to be really good and really entertaining for a long time in that NFC West. Thanks to Joe Theismann, Calais Campbell, Chris Forster, Kawana N, Mikey B, PDB, Bogus and Pierno. Talk to you tomorrow. Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.